This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
There's a real invitation here this morning, church. I've heard it all from the minute I walked in the door. David had a word during pre-service prayer about there being a choice. And so you've got a choice to make this morning. My heart is pounding. I never get that when I talk in front of you anymore. Well, I do, but it's really pounding today. And it's not because I'm nervous, but it's because God is wooing us. The Holy Spirit is wooing us. So let's pray. Father God, there is so much in my heart, and there's so much I could say. But Holy Spirit, please. We only want what the Father wants for us. You said, God, you said it again this morning, that you would use the unusual. Well, here I am. Lord, I pray for every heart in this house this morning, Lord God, that right now we would make the choice to set aside every distraction, to set aside every thought, to cast every care onto you, to lay it all down. Jesus, have it all. We want to hear from you this morning. We want our lives to be transformed this morning. Amen. Well, church, it has been a big week, as Jason said. I wasn't quite sure where I would share this part of the story today, but I think I'll share it now because I want you to know what's... Okay. God, I'm going to be all over the place. We had an elders meeting here on Friday morning, and Jason opened that elders meeting by saying, "Revival is here." And it's the truth, church. We've been praying for a long time. And God has shown up. It's not like he hasn't shown up in the past. He has shown up. He's been here. But right now, he's wanting to do something new. We've been hearing it, and revival is here. And it's for all of us. It's not just for me. It's not just for Jason or Andre or Pam or the worship team. It's for all of us, if you want it. And I say, if you want it, God played, it's the only way I can describe it. Oh, God played a little game with me, it felt like, on Wednesday when we were here for our worship. We had a worship leaders meeting, and Pam invited us to come and sit in the river here. I don't know, that river thing happened while I was on holidays, and I didn't miss it, it's still here. So we came and sat here, and we talked and we prayed, and Pam got us, I don't know, Pam or Jason, one of them, got us to go off on our own and just have some time with God and just, you know, what is God saying to us? And so we all went off, and Pam was laying down over there, I think, and I think you were laying down, I don't know if you were laying down, and Elaine and Grace were kind of here, and I went over there, and I'm over there next to the heater, and I was just sitting, and I thought, okay, as you would say, crickets, nothing. I'm like, okay, God, what's that about? Nothing. God, I'm here. If you want to say something to me, please say it. I'm open. I'm listening. I put every thought out of my mind. I'm like, God, what do you want to say to me? Nothing. Nothing. I'm like, okay, this is meant to be really spiritual, right? I'm meant to be hearing something. And then he did. He reminded me of a picture that I had. So for those of you who don't know, I was married for 35 years, and my husband Charlie, and we would go out for dinner sometimes, and we would go out later on, you know, when we'd been married a long time. And we'd go out for dinner, and we'd sit there, and all the other couples, you know, lovely romantic dinner when you're meant to talk and have quality time together, and all the other couples in the restaurant would be talking, and I'd look around and they'd be gazing in each other's eyes and talking and, you know, sharing deep and meaningfuls, and Charlie and I'd just be, And I used to get really up. I got a bit upset about that. I'm like, okay. And then I saw it. I'd already told him everything. We spent 24/7 together. I'd already told him. I didn't wait till we went out for dinner to tell him all my news. If something came on in my mind during the day, I would tell him. I would share it with him. And he would share it with me. We did talk, but we didn't wait for that particular moment. We just talked all the time and shared everything. So when we'd already shared everything that we wanted to share with each other. And I felt like in that moment that's what God was saying to me. You talk to me all the time, Karen, and I talk to you all the time, and that's okay that we can just sit here and be quiet. It's okay. And I was really touched by that, and I thought, wow, God, you're so good to me. Thank you. That was awesome. And then I came over here and we joined back in the group and we shared what we'd had, and then Jason pulled out his guitar and, well, I didn't even know what you sang. I don't know, holy something about God. It was something about God, wasn't it? And this has never happened to me before. I've had encounters with the Holy Spirit absolutely before, but I was gone. I was somewhere else. And I can tell you I was in the throne room. I don't know how I know that. I just knew that. Can't tell you what it looked like. I just knew that's where I was. And I was off. I was gone. Now, I had an appointment I had to be at by a particular time. And I could hear you guys. I could hear you talking. I could hear these guys talking and they were singing. And then Jason must have said something to me about, have you got any words of wisdom, Karen? And I just went, I'm trying to come back, is what I said. I was trying to come back. I don't know how to put this into words to you. Because we can stop the Holy Spirit, right? I've had conversations with you all. We can. The Holy Spirit is good. He doesn't just, you know, we can, I don't want to say resist him, but we can stop that if we want to. And there's been other times when I've been in worship and someone's just come in and sneezed and I've been like, oh, great, thanks. Now I'm out and I'm back in reality. Do you know what I mean? But this particular day, I could not come back. I was trying my hardest to come back. I thought if I open my eyes, that will do it for sure. So I opened my eyes and I'm like, nah, that didn't do it. I was still in the throne room. I was still, the presence of God was so thick for me. I thought if I get up and walk into the kitchen, that will do it. I got up and I walked into the kitchen up. And it was like the best way. I could see, I could hear everyone, but I was not here. And it was like God was saying, yeah, okay, I'll tell you when you can go. And I had to drive down to Churnside and everyone wanted to drive me down there. I think they were really worried that I wouldn't make it. But I knew it was okay. It took a couple of hours. I drove to Churnside for my appointment. I did what I had to do. I was totally functional, but it took me a couple of hours to really, I don't even know if I'm really out yet. No, I don't think I am. And I'm sharing that with you because I want you to want that. I want you to want that. I want that. I want that. And we have a choice. So, okay, I'm going to share a couple of things really quickly. I want to talk about intimacy with God. I was away, a few of you, well, for those visitors who don't know, one of my daughters lives in Cairns. And I was away on holidays in Cairns, and so I had a lot of time to sit by the beach and read and do all sorts of things, and it was great. And I read this book. Has anyone read this book, Passion for Jesus, by Mike Bickle? I highly recommend this book to you. Changed my life. It doesn't replace the Bible, but it's very biblical. So I read this book while I was away, and I realised... what did I realise? I realised that God's love for us, he never changes, right? He's the same. He doesn't love us because of our performance. He doesn't love us because of what we do for him. He just loves us. But our passion for Jesus can dwindle. I want to read just one quote, there'll be a lot of quotes out of that book. But I want to read this quote because this is what got me on this theme for today. Without the person of the Lord Jesus as our central focus, without enjoying his presence regularly, and thus having our hearts tenderized, we cannot function as a dynamic community with energy to serve one another and fellowship in a deep way. Strife and division are the inevitable result when we attempt to draw really close to one another without also drawing close to Jesus. The only way the church can function according to its design is for Jesus to be the active centre of our life together. If we have lost that focus, then it must be restored. And then he said the thing that got me. Jesus is often a stranger in his own house. Ouch. Jesus is often a stranger in his own house. This house and this house, it can happen. And church, I don't want Jesus to be a stranger in his own house. I don't believe you want Jesus to be a stranger in his own house. I want to just read a few scriptures. If you've got your Bible, Colossians chapter 1. I'll be reading these out of the New Living. Colossians chapter 1. I'll be skipping around a little bit. So Colossians 1 and some verses out of chapter 2 as well. Colossians 1 starting at chapter 9. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honour and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Verse 15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and he is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. Just going to jump down to chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Just flip over back. Oh, we're just going to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. I tried to limit this amount of scripture, but I can't. I actually wanted to read the whole of Ephesians to you. You want to learn how to live, church? Go and read Ephesians. You want to learn how to live together? Go home and read Ephesians. Okay. We're going to start at chapter 4, verses 1. Therefore, I, prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, for there is one body, one Spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scripture says, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Verse 13, this will continue until we all come to such unity and faith in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will all be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown away about by the wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Verse 16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Church, it's Jesus that makes us fit together perfectly. We can't try and do it. We can't do it in our own strength. It's only Jesus, being the head of the body, who fits us together perfectly. And so we need to get close to Jesus. How do we make sure that Jesus is not a stranger in this house, church? It's intimacy. And intimacy comes out of overflow. Fruit comes out of overflow. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control all come out of the overflow. If we've seen Jesus, we've seen and know the Father, John 14:9. And the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. John 16 tells us that. But you know, we're never told to become like the Holy Spirit. We're never told that in Scripture. We're told to become like Jesus. And so we need to get to know him. And you might think you know him, but I guarantee you there's more. You might think you know Jesus really well. I guarantee there's more, and he wants to give you more. Church, he wants to give you more. Revival is here. Revival starts in the house so that it can go out and overflow. Intimacy does not come accidentally. You don't, whoops, I accidentally got to know someone really well. Intimacy does not come accidentally. It comes through the hunger and yearning of our hearts and through sowing to the Spirit. As we hunger and thirst for Jesus, seeking him and spending time in his presence, we grow more and more in love with him. I've realized that the world and the things that happen in our life, the hurt, the loss, the grief, the joy, all take us away from our first love. And Jesus is calling us back. He's calling us back, church. Ephesians, I'm going to if I've got time, I'm going to do it really quickly. I want to just talk about seven blessings of holy passion, and it comes straight out of this book, a lot of it. We're going to look at seven quick things, what intimacy does for us. Number one, a focus on intimacy washes our hearts. Ephesians 5:26 says this. Actually, let me read it. I've got it right here. Ephesians 5:26 says, to make her holy, that is the church. Verse 25 says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. We heard that this morning in communion. Jesus gave up his life for this thing we call the church. Don't anybody try and tell me that the church isn't relevant anymore. How that must grieve Jesus. This was his idea. This is his plan, that we do life together as his family, as his church, as his bride. He gave his life for this. To make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Washing of the word. Jesus is the word. The word of God means more than printed words on a page. However, it does mean that as well. God is a communicator, church. He speaks through creation. He speaks through the prophets, the Holy Spirit. He speaks through scripture and he speaks through Jesus. Did you have a shower today? Maybe not. Maybe you're going to have one tonight or a bath. I had two yesterday. I had a shower in the morning and I had a bath last night just because I could. Gone are the days, church, where you can come to church for a once a week shower. You need to be washing yourself in the word every day. And I know that takes time. And we want to say, we want it made easy for us. Where we, I know you've got busy lives. I know. And you can go and you can have your busy life, but you're going to miss something really intimate and special with Jesus that only comes through letting him wash you by the word. We get dirty in the world. People rub against us. We hear things, we see things, we're exposed to things. And Jesus said that he wasn't praying that we'd be taken out of the world. He actually wants us to be in the world, to be his light in a dark place. But we need to make sure we're constantly washing that off ourselves by the washing of the word. And that is reading the Bible, but it's not just reading the Bible. I can read every word on this page and it mean nothing unless I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to show me Jesus in every part of that. I love this book. And it's not just about the words that are on the page, it's about the person who wrote it. Just reading the word on the page isn't enough. That will give you information. When we spend time with the word himself, we experience transformation. Jesus is the word. A focus on intimacy protects our soul. Your soul needs protection. The soul aggressively engaged in pursuing intimacy with Jesus is positioned to overcome temptation. You want to overcome temptation? Get in intimacy with Jesus. When your passion and attention is focused on Jesus, it makes it possible to resist the temptations of the soul. You know, this is probably a bad example, but it's the only one I could think of. Before I go shopping, I don't know that I need anything. You know, if you just, who goes window shopping? All the girls are like, yeah, yeah. And some of the boys, yeah. I see those hands, boys. But if I go down to the shops, then I see everything I need. And I didn't know I needed it till I saw it. Then it has to come home with me, especially if I go to my favourite shop, Kmart. So when my passion and attention is focused on Jesus, I'm not seeing these other distractions. But if I take my eyes off him and I go looking and just go window shopping over here and just go window shopping over there, I see the things I think I need, but they hurt my soul. Those things that hurt my soul that I was never meant to be looking at, we've got to be so careful about what we're looking at. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, church. A focus on intimacy motivates and inflames our hearts. Galatians 6:8 in the Passion Translation says this: the harvest you reap reveals the seeds you planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. When we sow to the Spirit, church, we expose ourselves to the presence of God, whether we feel it or not. You know, when I was away on holidays, I was reading the Word every day, like hours of it. It was great. I don't get to do that at home all the time. Don't get to do that. So that was a really special time. When I'm reading it, I don't necessarily, something always speaks to me, but I don't necessarily feel anything different. But it's when you keep putting it in and you keep putting it in and you keep putting it in and you change whether you know it or not. And it comes out of you without you even trying, because you've just been sowing to the Spirit. And you've been intimate with the Word of God, and it will come out of you. So it's not about whether you feel it or not. And I believe that's part of what happened to me last week. Because in that moment, it wasn't particularly anything that I did, and it never, but it is because I'd been sowing to the Spirit. I'd been worshiping before that. I'd been reading the Word. I'd been talking to Jesus, and he can't help but show up when you do that. A focus on intimacy satisfies our hearts. When our spiritual hunger is not being satisfied, we will experience frustrating spiritual boredom and restlessness. Can you see a theme in all of this? Have you ever felt spiritually bored? You can be honest. You don't have to put your hand up. Just be honest in your own heart. Have you ever been spiritually restless? It's because your attention's been in the wrong place. And Jesus is wanting to get our attention, church. A focus on intimacy frees us from insecurity and fear of man. Boy, do we need that. I need that. Intimacy with Jesus brings security and rest in our inner man. It's the knowledge that we are loved, accepted, and valued by God that gives us a sense of value. When we get our value from Jesus, it doesn't matter what other people think about us. It doesn't matter what they say or they don't say. And this doesn't necessarily happen with one conversation with Jesus. It takes time as we learn to trust him and trust what he says, as we allow him to heal the orphan thinking and behavior that we have. It won't matter what other people think. So if you're worried about what other people are thinking about you or what they're saying or what they're not saying, I think that's a flag for you to say, I haven't been listening to what Jesus thinks about me. What does he say? He's written it down for us. I love that. I say it all the time. He's written it down. I know some of you don't like reading. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I was listening to someone this week who said, I think it was Todd White, who said he couldn't read. And the first book he read when he got born again, this is where he learned to read. He'd never read a book, and he read the Bible. So for those of you who don't read or who don't like it, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And it's not about religion. It's not about, oh, now they're saying I've got to read my Bible 10 chapters a day or da-da-da-da-da. It's not anything about that. How many times a day do you look at your phone? When we get our value from Jesus, it won't matter so much what people think about us. Number six, the focus on intimacy heals inner wounds of the heart. If we're to experience true lasting wholeness and healing in the places of our wounding, we must encounter the healer himself. Intimate relationship with Jesus can heal any wound in the human heart. I don't know how he does it. I don't have to know. You don't know. And you don't have to know. But he does it. Intimacy with Jesus will heal every wound of your heart. Number seven, a focus on intimacy is an effective means of spiritual warfare. The enemy's strategy is to shift us from an offensive mode into a defensive mode. The enemy loves that when we're on the defense. We're on the back foot, when we're backing up. He likes that. He doesn't like it so much when we're pressing forward and pushing back. We will wear ourselves out by trying to remove darkness only by focusing on it and resisting it. Instead, we directly attack the darkness in our lives by focusing on and receiving more light. You've heard this and you know this. Light doesn't try. There's no battle between light and dark. When we turn the lights on in this place, there's not a little battle going on and the darkness says, no, I'm going to win today. And the light says, no, I'm going to win today. You turn the light on, the light comes on, it's not dark anymore. And to be honest, we make things so hard in our lives. We think to ourselves, surely there's got to be more to it than that. Surely, Karen, you're telling me that just by exposing myself to the light of the world, that is spiritual warfare? Absolutely. Do I believe in spiritual warfare? Absolutely. Do I believe there's times we need to, you know, if the Holy Spirit tells us there's certain things that we need to do? Absolutely. But honestly, sometimes we get so over super spiritual and so up ourselves. It's the only way I can describe it, where we're like, really? Just expose yourself to the light of the world. So that's seven things that we've looked very quickly, and I want to move quickly because we are going to worship together, because there's nothing like worshiping together to be in the presence of God. I just about couldn't stand up when I walked in the place this morning. And it's not anything to do with this building. I felt it when I was driving here. I actually felt it when I woke up this morning. I actually think I've been feeling it since last Wednesday specifically, but this morning again. I had this word months ago. It's the only way I can describe it is the veil. It's not even the veil because the veil's gone. The atmosphere is really thin between us and the spiritual, between us and God's presence at the moment. It's really thin. It doesn't take much to be right there in his presence. It doesn't take very much at all. It takes a choice. I've had a couple of words that I've been writing in my journal. It's come up a few times and God's been really specific about it, and he's been saying to me, protect the secret place. Protect the secret place. I want to say that to you today, church. Protect the secret place where you and Jesus meet. Guard it. Protect it. Create it. Ask him. If everybody's different, ask him by the help of the Holy Spirit, how does that look for me? What does that look like for me? I've been in Psalm 91. I can't get away from the first verse. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High. That's the secret place, living in the shelter of the Most High. Those who live there. You don't go for a visit. God wants full custody of his children. You don't just go for a visit, you live there. And then that's when all those promises come out of Psalm 91. Psalm 27, I'm going to finish with this, I think. Let's just see how I go. Psalm 27 verse 8 says, "My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming." I believe he's saying that to us all today. Can you hear him say, come and talk with me? I've got things to tell you. He's got things to tell you that he's not going to tell me. And I need you to hear them so that you can tell me. That's what being part of the body is. He's got things to tell you. And he's saying, come. We've heard the invitation this morning, come. Come and talk with me. I heard a wonderful definition of the word worship this recently, and it actually means to kiss. That's pretty intimate. Can you imagine that? Part of that time that I spent here last Wednesday, one of the pictures that God had that was quite special just for me, but I want to share it with you, I saw the sea of glass, the crystal sea in the throne room. There was nobody else there. I couldn't see any thrones. I couldn't see any elders casting their thrones. I couldn't see any angels. All I could see was a spotlight and me and Jesus ballroom dancing. I don't ballroom dance. But to me, that was just an intimate moment, just me and him. And all that activity of heaven, I'm sure, was still going on around about me. But in that moment, his attention was on me. He was looking at me. And he's doing that for you this morning, church. He's looking at you this morning. And he wants you to look back and he's saying, come and talk with me. If we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, we've got to strip off every weight and press into Jesus. We need a renewed passion for Jesus. Every one of us, whether you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or 50 years, your passion for Jesus. He wants quality time. Quality time is giving someone your undivided attention. I've spoken about this before. Who's read the five love languages? You know all about the, you know, quality time, physical touch, gifts. I really like that one. Gifts. God's quality. He actually likes all of those. They're all his love languages. But I think his favorite is quality time with you. That's your, now you're talking his language. He wants quality time with you. Let me repeat the quote I started with. Without the person of the Lord Jesus as our central focus, without enjoying his presence regularly and having our hearts tenderized, we cannot function as a dynamic community with energy to serve one another and to fellowship in a deep way. Church, I want us, and I know Jason and Andre and all the other leaders, we want this church to be a dynamic community with energy to serve one another and fellowship with one another in a deep way. So we each need to renew our intimate relationship with Jesus, and I believe that's the invitation today. So we're going to worship together. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And I don't know how that's going to look, but at the end of this, but I know that we're going to worship together. We're going to turn our eyes on Jesus. We're going to put aside every other thought, and time doesn't matter. And we're going to worship the one who gave his life for us. And he's inviting you today. It's up to you. But I urge you, I beg you to come and worship and get intimate with Jesus. Thanks, Pam.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.